Hello.
Oh my god, look who's back.
Oh my god, the infamous like Abby/Spice Rack. Low-key plugged myself in right there.
Good, because last time you were so high, you couldn't. Do you remember that?
I felt so bad because I fell asleep.
It's okay. I was like, do you want to outro yourself? And you're like, no, I'm good. And we were like, okay.
I enjoyed the episode. I just, you know.
It was a lullaby.
Yeah, I was just there for the vibes, you know? Who says, like, you know, crime can't be relaxing?
Yeah. Well, you're back and you're ready to attack, and.
Yeah.
It's just Abby and I, and we're slightly more sober, I think.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Welcome, team. Today we're talking about another true crime case. Shocker. Yeah. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. I don't know anything about this, by the way. I was told the name and that it's important that my reactions are recorded.
Yes.
So.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Jane. And this is Creeps and Coffee,
a show where we talk about the dark parts of the world around us.
Cryptids, conspiracies, things that go bump in the night.
And the crimes behind the scariest creatures of all, humans.
Join us as we take a look at the stories sure to give you the creeps.
Pull up a seat, grab a coffee,
and let's have a chat.
So, this true crime case isn't about murders or serial killers as usual.
Okay.
This one is about, as you've probably seen in the title, guests, companions, audience, peeps, the Enema Bandit. Do you know what an enema is?
This is going to sound stupid, but I feel like, isn't that like something from the sea?
That's a sea anemone.
My dyslexic ass seeing the word and being like, a sea anemone.
Anemone.
An anemone. Then no.
Okay, so an enema involves putting liquid into your butthole.
Oh.
Yeah.
So like, when people, like, will shoot up beer up their ass to get drunker.
Yeah, and typically an enema is, like, a medical procedure to relieve really extreme constipation and stuff.
Okay.
They'll take, like, water or, like, a liquid and just put it up people's rectums and quick. And then it helps them poop their pants. That is fine. Enemas themselves are fine when they're consensual. These were not.
What? So wait, random stuff was getting shoved up people's assholes?
Yeah, so I want to talk about Michael H. Keenan, the Enema Bandit.
Okay.
Also known as the Illinois Enema Bandit, also known as the Ski Mask Bandit, also known as Champagne Enema Bandit.
Also, unfortunate name, because that's also a really popular name.
Michael?
Yeah.
I was like, enema is not a popular name.
Oh, no. But even, like, when you said his last name, I was like, I can even think of, like, a million people who, like, well, are close to that name.
Yeah, I will preface this by saying every time I read his name, Michael H. Keenan, my brain says, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, this that's isn't what Michael I think
Keaton.
Of.
It's not the famous Michael Keaton. This is Michael Keenan, a douchebag.
Yeah.
Who
likes assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for a little bit of history, Michael Hubert Keenan was born in 1944 in Illinois. So he's an American criminal.
Okay.
Shocker. sorry. And he's attacked people multiple times. So I'll go over, honestly, I don't want to go over his history of his life and stuff because, quite frankly, there's not much about him. This wasn't a popular case because he didn't, like, actually kill people. So there's not a whole lot of detail on him. And also, I'm sorry, I don't care. He's a piece of poop. Figuratively and literally, apparently. So, oh. I really don't care. He started his earliest attacks on two teenage sisters in March of 1966 in Champaign, Illinois. He graduated from the University of Illinois in 67 and then left the state. Gee, I wonder why.
So wait, was he putting the same stuff that doctors normally do to shit themselves up people's ass without them, like, without their consent? Or was he just doing random shit up their asses?
I think it was just water, to be honest.
Like, what do you get from that? like
sexual gratification.
But you're not even, like, it's not even, you're not doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. Do it to yourself, bro.
Like, it's not, like, this sounds worse, but it's not even, like, he's putting his thing in their parts.
Yeah.
It's water in their parts. Like, how do you get gratification or enjoyment out of something like that? Like, I'm not saying it's right either way for either of those situations. Yeah. However.
Personally, I wouldn't find any gratification in it because I'm here. Not a psycho.
I don't want to stick water up people's ass.
No. Yeah, he stopped, so he left the state.
Yeah.
And he'd only had those attacks on the two teenage sisters.
He didn't end up going to jail then.
No, so he wasn't caught then. No one knew anything about him at all.
Okay.
And so this gave him the opportunity to start a new attack in Manhattan, Kansas, Oklahoma, Los Angeles, California. So he's kind of dotting all over the map, right?
Yeah.
He returned to Champaign in 72 and returned to his attacking. He took up a job in the Department of Revenue. Mm-hmm. He committed more additional attacks on 3 flight attendants.
Jesus Christ.
He also attacked 4 women in a sorority house who he then administered enemas. He also was robbing people as well. He was involved in a minor traffic accident later that night after he went to the sorority house, but was not arrested and was not caught or anything. He was apprehended in Chicago a few weeks after this attack, and he was arrested not for the attacks but for the robberies that he committed.
So they still didn't know what he had done, or they didn't charge him on what he had done?
The latter. So during questioning, he started talking about the enema bandit, and when he was arrested, he was judged to be sane, legally sane, so it's not like he was crazy. He was just telling people, yeah, I did this. I attacked these women, I gave them an enema, I was robbing places. He then, in December of 1975, pleaded guilty to 6 counts of armed robbery.
Wow.
And was sentenced to 6 to 12 years in prison for each count, but was never charged for the enema assaults.
So they were aware of what they were doing, but not wanting to do anything about it.
Yeah. So he didn't get in trouble for, I would call that sexual assault.
That's what I was going to say. That's a person's whole.
Yep. And apparently the reason was there's no law, or there was no law at the time, against giving someone an enema. But I'm like, hey, that's still a sexual assault to me.
Yeah.
But I guess it was like the 60s and 70s, so.
But like, still, wouldn't you sort of be like, okay, like, yeah, why wouldn't you think of that even if it wasn't sexual assault as assault?
Yeah,
they're still,
you were violated.
Yeah, you're violating somebody, and it's not like, oh, like, I shoved them over. It's like, no, you're literally ripping their pants or skirts down and against their will and shoving shit up their ass. That is assault.
Like, maybe it's because nobody wanted to, like, testify or something, but, like, they just, I don't understand why he wasn't charged, like.
I mean, did he go to prison for life, or how many?
No, he only went for 6 years. He served 6 years in prison, and then he was put on parole in 1981.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's interesting.
And he's still alive to this day. And he's out, and he's free. And he's ugly.
Wait, you said he committed these crimes in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
I guess that was, like, just sounds bad, but, like, wasn't that also the era where, like, a lot of abuse cases would just not be dealt with?
Yeah. Especially because all of the victims were female.
Yeah.
So, were they maybe not believed as much? Maybe, yeah, men didn't care. Maybe police officers didn't care. I'm not going to say anything to get us sued for defamation, but
not trying to do that. Sorry. It can be on me if anything happens.
But leaving that to people's, I don't know. But yeah, what are your thoughts so far?
Well, for one, I'm so confused on, like, why did they enjoy that? Like, that sounds really weird, but, like, why is that some sort of, like, the other crimes, you know, popular crimes, they shouldn't be. But, you know, they are, they're popular crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that I understand the complete fact on why they did that, but it's like, okay, those are normal crimes. People commit them on a daily basis, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you get out of that? Like, even if it is sexual pleasure, you're not having sexual pleasure with them.
Yeah. I will define, because the only thing that, I'm not, you know, an intellectual person. I don't know much about true crime. I didn't go to school for it. Just what I've seen in my own research. But the only thing I can think of is a thing called sexual sadism, which by definition is the infliction of physical or psychological suffering, such as humiliation, terror, abuse, on another person to stimulate sexual excitement and orgasm for the sexual sadist. Sexual sadism disorder is a sexual sadism that causes clinically significant distress or functional impairment, or is acted on with a non-consenting person. So I think that makes sense in probably the psychological suffering part, because while I don't think an enema hurts, it's not supposed to hurt. You know, it might hurt if you're being forced to do it, or it might not hurt, but psychologically, you know, you're scaring these women,
you know, also,
traumatizing
them. Was he doing it even correctly? You know what I mean?
We don't know, yeah. It might not have been done correctly. There's not a whole lot of details about how his procedure went, probably because nobody wanted to be like, oh yeah, he took this and he shoved it out my butthole and did this, because, hey, nobody wants to know that.
Yeah. Like,
except
oh.
Probably people on the dark web.
Yes. I mean, the police should know.
Yes.
But, you know, as a general rule, you're going around being like, so some guy just shoved something up my ass.
Yeah.
Not really the same.
And maybe it's more of the part where it's acted on a non-consenting person. Maybe he got off on that.
Yeah.
But also, which specific kink must he have? Because it's an enema. He's not doing the regular sexual assault harassment. He's not raping someone.
Yeah.
Dare I, like, say the words. But he's still, like, maybe it's just that he's invading their privacy, or he's doing the unthinkable. I don't know. And I don't understand.
I don't know, and that does make sense.
Yeah. Because,
like, that's the thing with, like, BDSM stuff. Like, you know, I know that some people have kinks where they're like, oh, they like pain, or they like to tie their partner up, or something like that. But this, like, definitely sounds a lot more extreme, especially when you also add the consenting sexual thing. Like, that's where I really think, like, the psychological part, because it's like, if you're okay with something being unconsensual, then there's probably some stuff going on.
Yeah. There was people also, I was reading a bunch of comments on, like, YouTube videos and, like, Reddit and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll get to, like, the pop culture stuff about this, but people were saying it's almost like people are making fun of the victims because he was joking about it and, like, not testifying, but, like, he was almost teasing in his manners, like, when he was describing the crimes. There were rumors that he was calling the cops and boasting about his crimes, not just, like, the robberies, but also being like, yeah, I did this. And
this sounds really bad. Okay, no hate, but, like, I've also experienced this. It's very common in, like, a guy-girl situation. If the guy makes it seem like not a big deal to everyone else from an outside perspective, they automatically go to the guy and be like, oh, he's chill about it, so obviously the girls must just be overreacting.
Yeah.
And that's probably why he did it as a joke, because he knew that nobody would either A, take him seriously.
That's messed up.
Or B, that it wouldn't matter because, like, he's not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
So then I feel like it's also low-key, like, guy code, because I've seen it happen where, like, one guy would be like, what are you doing? Like, just, like, go on with it. And they'll be like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's, like, a deep-rooted, like, this sounds real bad, but, like, a deep-rooted, like, misogynistic thing.
Yeah.
So, like I said, deep-rooted, so I'm not saying also everybody's like this.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I have seen things like this, very similar, not people putting stuff up their butt, but not taking things seriously, and then it ends up just being that one person that can make a difference. You know what I mean? Like, that one person will literally change how everybody thinks about the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Also, you look so intelligent with your glasses right now. I'm so sorry. I'm like, yes, yes, professor. Like, yes.
Thank you. I got my little glasses on today. Feeling real professional.
I feel like this is very similar to one of the episodes I had you on before, the Mad Gasser of Mattoon, where people
weren't
taking it
that
super seriously because nobody died.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I feel like while they aren't similar crime-wise, you know, I feel like our coverage is still sort of the same. Like, nobody died, but this is messed up, and we need to talk about it. Because if someone were to do that nowadays, you better be getting charged for sexual assault at the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Like, not okay, not allowed. There has to be a crime against that.
Like, you'll even see guys on the internet, like, invading people's personal space, like, too far. Even if they aren't, like, overly touching, they're being very rude, obviously, like, disrespecting your personal space. And, like, sometimes even they will get charged, or people will post it online, and then that person's life gets fucked over, which, I mean, you're the one fucking up in the first place. Yeah. You just got called out for it. But it's, like, sort of one of those things. It's, like, what do you do when, like, you get called out, or you call yourself out for something, like.
Yeah, and also, is this just a failure of the law? Did they just let it slide? Is this just another example, one of many, that goes, hey, this is the American legal system, it sucks?
I just don't love that. I understand the severity of, you know, a murderer, because obviously you don't want somebody going around murdering a bunch of people. So I understand that there are different priorities that, you know, the law has to take. And that's fine. However, I still think somebody assaulting somebody else should still be your concern, because sure, they may not be killing them, but they are still traumatizing people for life.
Yeah, I would need therapy after that.
Yes.
Someone breaking into my home and putting anything in any of my holes.
Right, even if it was, like, up your nose.
That's still, like,
like,
please don't do that. That's so scary.
Like, that's what I mean. It's just, like, it's horrible. Like, that is assault. And I'm just so sad that, like, they didn't get anything for it.
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, if it did happen to me, I would feel awkward about it, too. I'd be like, how do I say that, like, you know, it wasn't, like, a penis that assaulted me, but I was still, like,
it's still a foreign object going somewhere.
Yeah.
You're not wanting it to.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely feel a little awkward being like, going to the police being like, I had to report an assault. And it's like,
you know, and maybe he's done it more, but they didn't report it because they were embarrassed, or they were scared, or maybe they were inebriated and didn't remember.
Well, that's the other thing. If you went, especially you brought up the forced sorority girls.
Because it was young women in universities and colleges most of the time. Like,
so chances are it's at parties.
Yeah.
It's at these different places where they are drinking, or they're smoking, or they're on something.
Yeah.
You know, and not that that's, like, you know, people can live their lives, but it's still, like, that does always, like, no matter what, if you are drinking out in public, that puts you in a vulnerable spot.
Yeah. Same with, like, we don't know, this is all speculation, by the way, he could have been, like, date rape drugging people.
Yeah.
So they won't remember what happened, like.
And then him telling this either sounds like a complete joke, because nobody can remember that it happened, or vice versa, because, like, nobody does remember, they just think it didn't happen, and he's just lying.
And at the same time, he is still alive, and he is out of prison, and we are speculating, being like, I wonder what happened, but at the same time, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Do not call us, do not communicate with us, I don't want you to try and clear your name, I don't care. Michael Keenan, not Keaton, if you're listening, stop. Don't listen.
Stop.
We don't want you on the podcast. We don't often say that to people. And to the victims, if anyone's still alive and still listening, hey, girlies, I'm so sorry.
I'm really sorry.
I know nobody's probably listening from the 60s.
I think
who
they
are probably
might be out of
elderly
the,
people now, if
out
anything.
Of the age range, maybe, for the podcast.
We
However,
do have, like, 20% of our audience is elderly, though, which
is,
strange.
Okay.
I don't know why, but thanks, guys. happy birthdays.
Well, I mean, to be honest, probably the amount of shit they've seen and then listening to true crime podcasts, they're probably like, oh yeah, that happened to my remember neighbor.
That. Or yeah. Something. Yeah, something. Oh yeah, Jane had that happen to her. She just didn't report it.
Right, like I swear they have the wildest stories and you're like, how did this not? But then again, that just goes to the question, is it a failed, like, mm-hmm. law thing? Yeah. You know, is it something that the police or the court did wrong? Because even to this day, most of the elderly people that I've met and some of the stories they share, mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, that should have been illegal or is illegal today.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
hey girl, you're a victim.
Hey girl, like, have you ever seen those people being like, oh yeah, like, what's your love story? You know, like, how did you meet? And mm-hmm. then it's like him being like, or her being like, oh yeah, he waited outside my door for like a week straight and wouldn't take a no for an answer from my dad. Yeah. And it was so romantic. And I'm like, nowadays, even if you stood at somebody's house for more than 10 minutes, you'd probably get shoot off.
Yeah. That's a felony.
That ain't right, sweetheart.
I saw a thing where it was like, sweetie, that's not an ick, that's a felony.
Oh, but yeah, I feel like that's definitely, they're probably like, oh, this just reminds me of the good old. Like, it's probably bad for the 20% that is elderly. I'm sorry if this is not great
grandma,
you.
Get some therapy. I would like to read a news clip, and it's crazy how they just, it's like just a small section of the newspaper from the Daily Herald in 1975.
Okay.
It's like one portion. The rest of the paper is normal stuff like society pages and finance stuff. And
don't worry, these photos will be on Instagram. Yes. So if you guys are curious or want to know like some of the stuff to mm-hmm. follow along, bring up the page while we're chatting.
Yeah. It shows an awful picture of him as well. He looks like he'd give you an enema.
Honestly, yeah, though.
Like, yeah, sorry. Not to be rude, but I'm going to be rude. Not to be
mean, but, yeah.
So, I'll just read a little bit, because I don't know if you can get copyright for retro old newspapers.
Yes, but we did cite it. We told you
it's true.
What it was
yes,
from.
The Daily Herald.
We're going to show newspapers.com.
So, Michael Hubert Keenan, 30, was charged by Champaign and Urbana police with two armed robberies May 3rd, in which he administered enemas to two of seven college co-eds in their apartments near the University of Illinois campus, police reported. Also, sorry if I'm mispronouncing anything. I don't know how to pronounce stuff properly. Thank you. Authorities also suspect a link between the Champaign Urbana attacks, which started in 1964, and similar incidents in Manhattan, Kansas, Los Angeles, Norman, Oklahoma, and all major college towns.
So they did know
what
was going on. They just made the active decision to not count it as important.
Yeah. Because enemas aren't illegal.
Yeah, that is literally exactly what this post is explaining, that they didn't give a shit.
But he's robbing them. That's what matters.
Yes, that was also the first thing they said, not the multiple accounts of assault.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to set off. He had three robberies.
There may have been as many as 40 such enema-type robberies in four
stop!
Cities.
Stop!
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there was only, like, two or three that were, like, confirmed. And it's like, okay, but even suspected ones, like...
And also, you have... You know, guaranteed three out of these 40 are. So why would you not, like, at least try to connect some of them or be like, yes, you already did it. Also, why is that not enough? Why is three? One should be enough. You do it one time.
They don't want
to
believe the victims. People never want to believe the victims. And this is the crazy sentence. Police said the enema bandit never sexually assaulted his victims, and he said he did not want to harm them.
So if you didn't want to harm them, why did you traumatize them?
Yeah. And what do you mean never sexually assaulted them?
Also, just because they may not have been in a lot of physical pain doesn't mean they weren't emotionally, and that is just as fucking important.
Yeah.
But, oh, you know, the legal system.
Keenan faces a string of armed robbery charges for home invasions in can't pronounce, and is under investigation for a can't pronounce robbery and home invasion in DuPage County about a year ago. This part is crazy. I keep wanting to say Palpatine. It's not Star Wars. Palatine police arrested Michael May 25th while investigating a robbery in which a lone gunman wearing a ski mask bound three airline stewardesses and took $14 in cash. That's all he took. Congrats, you committed a crime for $14. You're so dumb.
Oh my god. This is why this guy fucking shoved water up people's ass.
Like, come on. He was charged with armed robbery, burglary, armed violence, unlawful restraint, aggravated assault, and unlawful use of weapon. And that was just like, that's not what he was convicted of.
The three women that, or the three people he restrained, were they, did they also get the enema?
It doesn't say on here, but I'm assuming maybe at least one of them.
Yeah.
Probably, unfortunately. His bail was posted about $50,000 in bonds, and...
Don't you ever think that's crazy, that the law is just like, you can pay us enough money to get somebody else?
Yeah.
Like, technically just saying that all their crimes, like, you can put a price on it to make it go away.
Like, sometimes I'm, like, sure that makes sense for, like, a small crime.
Yeah, if it's, like,
But if it's, like...
small petty crime, you know? Like, somebody who's low income, and they took, like, something like a loaf of bread or shit from the store. It's, like, they don't need years of time in prison for stealing a loaf of bread.
I'll also say, like, maybe the charges of, like, armed violence and aggravated assault were supposed to cover the enema's issues. But I feel like... that doesn't fully encompass how scary and traumatizing that is. Like, I feel like it should have been said, like,
if that
aggravated
happened,
sexual assault.
If that happened in 2020, like, at any point in 2020, it would have been one of the biggest stories on the news. Guaranteed. Yeah. Like,
Me
obviously,
Too movement.
I know that there's a lot of other shit that's been happening, so don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the most important, but it would have been a really big story.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been, and people would have been fucking pissed that they were doing that shit to women, but...
He was also called, and I quote, an intelligent person, and he told police he'd only been, quote unquote, doing things for about 10 years. 10 years too long, brother. Hello?
How do you just hear that somebody has been committing crimes for 10 years and be like, yeah, that's fine, just
he
thank
was committing
you so much
crimes
for telling
me. For longer... amount of years than he went to prison for, because he only went for 6 years.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Could you imagine if that was like the sentencing? Also, that would be so easy. It's like based on how like the severity of the crime and also the length of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you kill somebody, that's life, because they're dead for life, you know. If you injure somebody and it's like it takes them 2 or 3 years to feel better, you're in prison for 2 to 3 years.
I like that,
you know, because then it's like, hey, if somebody dies because of your actions, whether it was drunk driving, whether it was anything like that, or murder, you're in life. Because guess what? You can't bring them back.
Yeah.
So there's your life gone. You made that choice. There's your bed. Lay in it.
Interesting concept.
Because then also people who commit smaller crimes sometimes get more years than the people who do serious crimes because of just honestly the way they present themselves. Which sucks, because some people... aren't bad people, they just sometimes do bad things, and then there are bad people like Michael, who get away with shit.
Completely, like, unrelated, but on the same vein of what you're talking about, but, like, unrelated to the Enema Bandit.
Yeah.
Is people who are in prison in, like, the U.S. for selling and smoking weed. It's legal now in certain parts. Why are they still in prison?
Yeah.
Like, you've changed the law. Let them out.
Yeah.
They've served enough time.
It's different. Like, if you found that they were selling to minors or something like that,
or they were selling heroin, something that's still illegal, like...
yeah, then, yeah, absolutely. Like, those things are still illegal. Like, as a minor, you can't sell to a minor. You know, those sorts of things. And same with, you know, bigger drugs that aren't legalized yet. Shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree with that. I feel like if it's legal, like... I also know, though, I don't know if it's same with here in... or same in America, but in Canada you can only also have a certain amount of plants before it's illegal. And I feel like that's the only way where maybe they would implement it more, is if it was like their own weed that they were growing and it was too much, because then yes, there has been a set amount that you can have. Either you choose to respect that, or unfortunately you have to sort of get what you not deserve, but you made the choice, you knew what could happen. But sometimes I don't feel like it's worth it, because some things are not that big, or vice versa. Somebody has enough money. Like, I think about tons of celebrities who've gotten away with multiple crimes, assaults, rapes, everything like that, because they can pay off the bail.
Yeah, and they can afford a good lawyer.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Enema Bandit eluded police efforts.
The podcast just turned into us ranting on the government and the police system. Don't mind us.
He eluded the Champaign police, even though they established a special task force to find him. Even though he wasn't that hard to find. But Kenyon, who had moved into a barn renovated for apartments near Rand and Dundee Roads. That's a weird sentence. And I'm actually not going to finish it. Because it's not important. It's stuff I've already mentioned. I'm so good at this. Can you tell I'm a professional podcaster?
I mean, I'm engaged. I'm chilling, so...
Speaking of, I don't know much about the legal system, but apparently they increased his bond when he was held in DuPage or DuPage County Jail to $100,000 pending his court appearance on June 10th. And then the total bond from the Champaign Urbana charges was set to $200,000, as it should be, because $50,000 seems extremely low. And at the time, it said Kenyon was scheduled to appear Friday in the Palatine branch of Circuit Court. Spoiler, he went to jail. On to the pop culture stuff, because he kind of went, like, old-fashioned viral, unfortunately.
When, like, the old stuff comes up and people, like, really get into it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, in 1974, there was a novel called The Odd Woman, where the protagonist, Jane Clifford, fears the Enema Bandit, who represented in the book her fears of losing control of her life. Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. A British metal band, Lawnmower Death... recorded a song titled The Illinois Enema Bandit on their album Return of the Fabulous Metal Bozo Clowns. Okay.
Okay.
Jazz composer Henry Threadgill recorded Salute to the Enema Bandit on the 1986 album Air Show No. 1.
What? So, did they just say salute?
Yeah, salute.
I don't know if maybe the band's confused, but salute means... It's like a respect
but
thing.
But hey guys, what?
That's sort of like you're showing a sign of respect, which either means that these jazz, it was jazz, correct?
Yeah, jazz composer
jazz
Henry.
Composers maybe are into butt stuff.
Some of them, apparently.
They were like, we like butt stuff enough that we admire this man right here. This man, he our hero. I wish I could stick. Never mind. I'm not gonna finish.
The crimes of which Kenyon was accused of were the inspiration for the 1976 adult film Water Power, starring Jamie Gillis, which was later reissued under the title Enema Bandit, which came into wider use following the incidents. This movie is loosely based off of Michael and His Crimes. It was a film shot in 4 days, and I don't know why you would want to watch that, but says me, who's talking about it on my podcast.
And I genuinely, like, here's the thing, I don't want to know the process, but I'm also so confused, and I want to understand what they did, because I know what they did, but I don't know how they did it, and I kind of want to know, because I'm like, how...
You contact Michael and you let me know. I don't want to talk to him.
Well, I don't want to talk to him either. Okay, well. I just want to, like, maybe if one of the victims came out, like, girly pop, I'd talk to you.
True. We'll keep your identity private.
Yeah.
A kinky promise.
We can put some filters over your voice, don't worry.
And this is probably the most famous in pop culture and social media that he was involved in was a Frank Zappa song called The Illinois Enema Bandit. And he and the group played it live from September 1975, recorded it in December 1976. It was first released in Zappa in New York in 1978, and then it became a part of his set list in every tour, including his final tour in 1988.
And can we hear this song?
I'm going to read you some of the lyrics.
Yes, please.
Because it's not even, like, it's not even, like, a subtle nod to him or anything. It's literally called The Illinois Enema Bandit, and I won't read you all the lyrics because, I don't know, probably copyright. But also, I'm not going to sing it either. So, some of these are lyrics. So, boy, he just be tying them up. They all be bound down. Just be pumping every one of them up with the bag full of the Illinois Enema Bandit juice. But also, this is so distasteful. Why is this a song describing his crimes and sexual assaults? Like, no wonder people are being so lighthearted and making fun of it. There's literally music about this. Like, that's so messed up.
I agree with the fact that, like, songs can make things funny, but at the same time, I also think songs can also bring awareness to situations.
Have some class,
well,
though. This isn't funny, like.
But maybe it wasn't meant to be. Like, there's a chance that his crimes, sort of like us, where we're like, he's not getting charged with it. Maybe he was just pissed off, and it was just a writer trying to fucking call him out, but it ended up just making them a popular song, or a song they added to their set list instead of something that actually changed his sentence. Who knows? Maybe they wanted to.
I don't know. I feel like it is making fun, because another part says, in the song, the judge would say, no poo-poo jokes. Then they'll drag in the bandit for all to see, saying, don't nobody have no sympathy, hot soapy water in the first degree. Like,
hot soapy water?
Yeah.
Alright, yeah, no.
Also, that is such a man response to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna write a song about another guy.
At first, I definitely gave them too much credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, until that line, I would have said, oh, maybe they were trying to bring awareness, but no, he's definitely just, what a misogynist thing to do, though. That's still unfortunately common today. It's just, if you make it sound funny, then you can just say the girls are being dramatic.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, well, just get assaulted and just shut up. I'm sorry, yeah. I forgot we're in the 1920s.
Somebody commented and said that the reason Frank Zappa wrote a song about the Enema Bandit was because he was like, oh, well, Bob Dylan wrote a song about an accused murderer, so why can't I write a song about an accused Enema Bandit?
Interesting. I'm sure that there is some more cases that maybe would have been made a better song, but... Yeah,
okay, where's the song about the Zodiac Killer then? Like, okay, and... What is your point?
Right? Like, there's tons of other people, and also, like, that song was about, like, a murderer, where, like, you can bring up, like, a lot of, like, important lines, and you can make a good song out of that. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's potential. You chose somebody who technically didn't even get, like, time for all their crimes. And also didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
They were this psychopathic man who thought he could get away with anything.
Yeah.
And obviously did.
Yeah.
And it just makes me sad because it happens even today with other stuff. And it's just like, okay, legal system, when are you gonna actually do your job? Because I know that there's tons of probably families out there and loved ones that never got peace.
There was also a comment on one of the websites I found. And it says, I heard some guy a couple years ago was waiting in an unemployment office, and he heard the name Michael Keenan being called out, and it was the guy sitting next to him. And he asked the guy if he'd ever heard of someone named Frank Zappa, and the guy, apparently Michael, bolted from his seat and ran out of the building.
Seriously?
I'm gonna go on a limb and say that was probably Michael.
But probably.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And my last statement on this topic, on Reddit, there's a thread, and someone was like, I wonder how Michael feels about the song, because he was paroled in 81, and Frank Zappa played it all on his tour in 88, so he could have, like, heard it. He could have saw it live and heard the song live. He, like, does he enjoy the song? Does he feel bad? Does he feel guilty every time he hears it? Like, what?
Or him and Michael were friends, and he was just trying to do something for him.
And like, that's Abby's opinion. Not a fact. We're not saying
yes. Anything I have said, but on the record, anything I've said is not factual.
Yeah, pure speculation. We're conspiracy theorists. This is all just
conspiracy, thinking about the topic, our opinions on it. Obviously, opinions are different for everybody, yeah. So if you have a different view on the situation, you know, even leave it in the comments, say what you think.
Yeah.
You know, like, let us know maybe your speculations or your own concerns on the topic or any of our random little rants.
Yes. My final thoughts on this topic and this guy is maybe someone needs to give him a forced non-consensual enema and he should have done a couple more years in prison. Those are my thoughts.
I think...
You have final thoughts, feelings, opinions?
Yeah, I think if it's true that, you know, what comes around goes around, he should have gotten something unconsensually done to him, whether it was that, because he might enjoy that. Yeah. So I'm going to say maybe not that, and something else he doesn't enjoy.
Yeah.
And yeah, he should have at least gotten the same amount of years as he at least committed the crime. Like, it should have been a 10-year minimum. They already knew he was committing crimes for 10 years.
Yeah.
That should have automatically, like I said, obviously, I view it based on, obviously, the severity of it, but also how long you're doing it.
Mm.
But I think he was a very fucked up man. Or is. Sorry, I keep forgetting he's alive.
Yeah.
So all of you in the States,
watch out.
Cover your butts.
it's illegal to be naked in public anyway. Well, thank you for joining me again.
Of course. You can find me online, SpiceRack2000, and on Twitch or on Instagram. Or TikTok.
Any and all socials. Of them.
Yeah, pretty much all socials.
Same with us. Thanks for listening if you've stuck around to the end. You can find our Patreon page. Please, I beg of you. And it is just patreon.com/creepsandcoffee. You can also find our Instagram, creepsandcoffee with an N, because we couldn't get the copyright for and. And X/Twitter, we're Creeps and Coffee, or send us a message or email at creepsandcoffee@gmail.com. Winky face, winky face, winky face. And that's the show, folks.
That's it.
What is it that Bugs Bunny says? Somebody says it on Cartoon Character. That's all, folks. No, that is Bugs Bunny. He, like, eats a carrot. That's all, folks. I'm gonna go now. I'm embarrassing myself. All right. Bye-bye!
Creeps and Coffee is produced and edited by us, Kate and Jane.
Our theme music is Stuck in a Hole by Dayton.
For more information on where to find them, check out the link in our show notes. And to connect with us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter @creepsandcoffee.